Professor Parr, can you tell us something about the development or the discovery of the PPP theory?
Sure, thank you. Happy to try to do so. I first say that science is a lot of fun, and by and large, every minute is fun, and some minutes are more fun than others. As far as the PPP theory goes, I would say there are three moments stand out to me. One of them is at the time that Rudy Pariser and I were standing at a blackboard and talking about the fact that the repulsion between two electrons, when they get on top of each other, needs to be corrected, as he had shown. But then the problem with that was, if you plotted that repulsion as a function of the distance, you'd find discontinuity if you take the usual repulsion. And we, I'm not sure that he or I realized suddenly that the thing to do is to reduce also the repulsions at other distances to get an entire curve that is corrected. And it was quite thrilling to realize that this was necessarily correct. I can see the picture in my mind of the blackboard and that curve. Then when we were presenting these works in June of 1952 at the Ohio State Spectroscopy Symposium, the chairman, who was John Platt, had for some reason known that we had something particularly interesting, and scheduled us first. We asked could we speak in succession. I would speak, and the Pariser would speak, and then they would ask for questions. We carefully prepared our talks, essentially on our first paper and our second paper, and I proceeded with mine. It seemed to go pretty well. I remember there were eight blackboards that stood up and down. And I remember being pleased when I got to the end of my presentation. I was just at the bottom of the eighth board and finished just like that. And his went very well. But then the chairman asked for questions. Professor Mulliken got up from review of the from the back of the auditorium, and he got up and he said, "This is very interesting." And then he sat down. And I remember that being quite exciting and pleasant for him to say that much, because he was not prone to speak too quickly about things. And for him to have said that was a great pleasure. Well, then there's a bit of a contrast, if I can go past that period of 2 or 3 years. One of the exciting moments of my life was when I was with Per Olof Lövdén in Uppsala, Sweden, on the 1st of May, and we were up on the Castle Hill watching the ceremony of the students throwing off their hats. I guess at midnight, the 1st of May, they take their white hats off and throw them off. And to see this well, I chose to stand up on top of a cannon by the castle on the hill. And just as they threw their hats off, I fell off the cannon. And that I remember as a quite explicit moment of my career. Fortunately, I was not very well hurt, very much hurt, hurt at all. Oh, and then I might pass to another moment many years later when I was giving a talk at the University of California at Santa Barbara, chemistry department. Usual chemistry department colloquium, you know, 50 or 60 or 70 people around, and I was talking about the formal consequences of density functional theory. And I talked about the first derivative of the energy with respect to particle number being the chemical potential of chemistry, and then said that the second derivative of the energy with respect to the particle number ought to have a interesting physical meaning. And Ralph Pearson, the distinguished inorganic chemist, was sitting up there a little bit to the left, and he immediately put up his hand and said, you know, we have to talk about this. And then a week later, we sent off a paper to the American Chemical Society announcing that the meaning of that quantity was identical with the meaning that Pearson had been, for some years, been calling the chemical hardness of chemistry. And I remember that as a very concrete instance of pleasure. But science is just fun.
Okay, thank you very much.